Romans chapter number 12. And I am thrilled at what God is doing in our hearts. I'm thrilled to be a part of it. And I realize that's just a part. I'm just the instrument by which God is working. And God is moving in our hearts. And I'm so thankful for that. And I hope for those of you that last night God spoke to you about the area of walking in the Spirit. I hope that you have found immediate joy and immediate victory throughout the day. I know that I was reminded afresh and anew of those truths even as I studied and prayed over them yesterday. And even throughout the day, God reminded me, just steadily looking towards me, abiding in me. And when sin comes, confess it right away and stay walking in the Spirit. And watch the victory that I'll work in your life. And I hope that you have found freedom in your life as a result of that message. I do believe that the message that was preached last night is one of them truths that is a core truth from which many other truths stem. But I do not believe they are, it's a totality of truth, or else we wouldn't have so much more of the Scripture given to us. But I do believe it is a theme in which you ought to, in your belief, in your life, in your life for Christ, you ought to revisit time and time again and be reminded of it. Oftentimes, a lot of the books that Pastor Springer was talking about that Brother Prettyman had given have to do with that Christ life and being reminded that it is Christ which worketh in us, Christ that works in and through us. And so I hope that you have found victory even today. And if you find that in the next few days you don't have victory, remember, it's because I've stepped out of walking in the Spirit. I've stepped out of His influence in my life. And now the only way to get back, and this is, by the way, how the flesh will trick us. We automatically think, to get back, I got to do something, some type of action of overcoming my sin. No, I confess it, so I receive forgiveness by grace again. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Then I enter back into walking in the Spirit, and I have His power, His ability to produce fruit in my life. And so I hope that God is working in your heart. I hope that you are being changed into the image of Christ day by day. Romans chapter number 12 tonight. If you're able, would you stand with me as we read a few verses from this portion of Scripture here. Romans chapter number 12. And as we begin Romans chapter number 12, oftentimes when we revisit familiar passages, if you're anything like me out in the pew, you will immediately disengage. That's what I do oftentimes. Maybe it's because I'm a preacher. Maybe it's because I'm more carnal than you. But as I hear, okay, we're going to be preaching from, and they name Psalm 23. Oh, we know what that's about. We're going to be preaching from Romans 5:8. Oh, we know what that's about. And so we immediately disengage. Our spirit is disengaged and we're distracted and we kind of know where we're going. Well, it's important to understand that sometimes truth is not a matter of learning it brand new, but rather being stirred about it again, being reminded of it. Many times in our Christian life, we're looking for that secret truth, that something, okay, show me something I don't know. I know all this, but show me something I don't know. We oftentimes need to be reminded of truth that we're already aware of, but we're not obedient in. And so tonight, I want to ask you to engage with the Spirit's help to focus on the message and ask the Lord to speak to us in a familiar passage from Romans chapter 12. Beginning in verse number 1, it says this, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, oftentimes when we've heard this message preached, when we've heard people preach from there, isn't it true they preach from verse 1 and 2 and they stop? But if you notice at the beginning of verse number 3, there's the word for. That means because. And so verse number 1 and 2 is really aiming at a reason that we're going to get to tonight, but I want to read the passage here in verse number 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. These verses, verses number 3 through 8, all are built upon verses 1 and 2. So it's very hard to preach verse 1 or to preach verse number 2 isolated from verses 3 through 8. And that's what we're going to get to tonight. I want to talk to you about a message that I've entitled, The Call of the Believers. What I mean by that is this is the desire of God. You don't have to go home tonight and pray, well, God, is this what you want me to do? This is the desire for believers. This is God's purpose for you, according to this passage. This would be things that is God's will for you as believers today. So let's ask the Lord to help us to hear God's will and to fulfill God's will tonight. Father, thank you so much for your scripture. Lord, I rest tonight in its power. I'm so thankful tonight, God, that it's not me that is going to quicken, not me that can move, not me that can change. I'm thankful tonight that it is the Word of God, that sharp and powerful two-edged sword. And I'm thankful that it is directed by the sharp and powerful Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, dear Lord, that I can rest in those two together today to accomplish the will of God in these believers' hearts. And Lord, I pray that every believer in this room tonight would listen to the Word of God and would listen to the Spirit. I pray that we would be very sensitive. I pray that we would be reminded, and I pray we'd be stirred to obedience. Dear Lord, help us to yield to this truth tonight. I ask tonight that you'd help us to walk in the Spirit. Lord, we need to walk in the Spirit as we hear your word. I pray if there's any known sin in our heart that we are aware of in our heart, that we would confess it even as I pray now. And that, Lord, we trust you to reveal more sin to us even right now, Lord, in the message. We trust you to do that, that we might be transformed and changed and made into the image of Christ. Please, Lord, bless. I pray, God, that every heart would be spoken to and that, Lord, not one heart would resist your Holy Spirit tonight. Give me liberty. Give me freedom. Give me passion. But, Lord, most importantly, help me to preach to please you. I want you to be pleased, God, tonight. I want you to be happy with my service to you. I want you to rejoice in what I've done tonight, God, knowing that it's you that did it through me. I yield myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray with much thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. The call of the believers, and I mean by that again, this would be God's desire for every person here. Whether you're a young child, whether you're a teenager, adult, or whether you're a senior saint, as we would call it, this is still God's purpose and God's will for your life. I want to talk about three things tonight. I want to talk about presenting your bodies. I want to talk about perfecting yourselves. And lastly, I want to talk about performing your gifts. Presenting your bodies, perfecting yourselves, and performing your gifts. Let's pick up in verse number 1. The Bible says here, and you have to forgive up here, Pastor, this fan blows your pages over all the time. I need a bigger Bible. I need one of them fundamental Bibles. Mine's New Evangelical. Mine is just flimsy. It's lacking something. You want to trade? Really? Thank you. I appreciate that. You're a kind man. Pastor is always looking out for my benefit. I have just found that. Verse number 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Let me let you know a few things before we begin. This, first of all, is talking to saved people. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. It's important to understand that the philosophy of when a person gets saved, it's not a matter of me giving my life to Christ. Oftentimes we'll hear people say, come, give your life to Christ. We'll hear New Evangelical circles, please forgive that term, say, come, give your life to Christ. Salvation is not me giving my life to Christ. Salvation is Christ giving His life to me. That's what salvation is. Sanctification is me yielding in return to it. And so it's important to understand when He's going to call us to present ourselves, this has nothing to do with your justification. This has everything to do with your sanctification. The Bible says a very important word, though, in verse number 1, the fourth word, I beseech you, therefore. I'm going to do something that I don't like to do, and that is we are starting off in verse number 1 of chapter number 12 after skipping chapter number 1 through 11. The whole thrust of chapters number 12 through 16 all have to do with the doctrine that is laid out, with the truth that is laid out in verse chapters number 1 through chapter number 11. And so I will give you a bird's eye view in a second, but I want you to understand that oftentimes when we see Scripture, we want to pull it out and say, oh, this is good, but we don't understand the reason behind it all. He's about to give us a great reason why we should present ourselves. Number 1, our motivation for presenting ourselves. It says this in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Do you understand tonight that every action in the Christian life is a response to God's action? Everything that we do in the Christian life is a response to God's first initiation of it towards us. His initiation of His grace. His initiation of His love. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. The Bible says we give ourselves in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 because He gave Himself for us. So all of our Christian life is built upon the mercies of God. In Romans chapter 1 through chapter number 11, the Bible tells us many mercies that we have received. We have received forgiveness of sins. We have received an inheritance with the saints. We have received the Holy Spirit. We are going to receive a glorified body. We have received sonship. We have received God's anger being turned away from us. We have received victory over sin, Romans chapter number 6. We have received the love of Jesus Christ, which we cannot be separated from. And what he's saying is that there is a mercy that draws us and compels us to serve the Lord. Mark it down. If you find someone that doesn't have a desire for service, they don't understand the love of God. They don't understand the mercy of God. And so tonight, if you're not involved in service, if you're not involved in presenting your bodies, you have to start off with understanding what God has done for you. We are going to be talking about doing something for God, quote unquote, but understanding it's on the basis of what God has done for me. But secondly, the motivation for presenting your bodies, it says this in verse number 1, it is your reasonable service. You're going to find in these next few verses that the word reason or having to do with mind is going to be illustrated over and over again. Look at verse number 1, he says reasonable, that has to do with your mind. Look at verse number 2. But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You see, a theme here is it has to do with what is rational, what is understandable. And doesn't it make sense to serve God? It doesn't it make sense? I challenge you to give me one argument against serving God. There is no argument. There is nothing you can give and say, this is the reason why I don't present myself, because God, there's no reason. The Bible says it's reasonable. It makes perfect sense to give our lives in return to Him. That's our motivation. But I want you to notice the method here. The Bible says in verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. The word present is what I'm focusing in on tonight, has the idea with yielding every part of me over for His disposal. You're going to find that the word yield is very close in its application to the word faith. We talked about last night when I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit to do what I cannot do. It all has to do with the action of yielding. I'm yielding, not choosing my way. I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit's influence. I'm placing myself underneath His control. And so what He's saying here is we need to take our bodies and yield it to Him. Notice how we're supposed to do it. He says in verse number 1, I beseech that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Whenever we think of the word sacrifice, you need to understand, and I mentioned this before already this week, that sacrifice always has to do with worship. Worship. And so oftentimes we believe that worship has to do with what I sing or how I pray, but worship has to do with how I live my life outside of the church. Here it's a living sacrifice that God wants. God wants a living worship. I used to think when I was young, when I was these guys' age, I used to think, you know, I would die for the Lord. Man, if some Russian, forgive me if you're Russian, or some German, or some Mexican, and whatever it is, were to come in with a gun and put it right up before him and say, you either deny the Lord or I'm going to kill you. And I used to think, man, I would live for God. I would take that shot. I would die for God, rather. I would be a martyr for God. Well, mark it down. You would never die for Him if you don't currently live for Him. It's not possible. The Bible says He wants your life to be a constant yielding, worshipful sacrifice to Him. That is what He's pleased in. Notice what else He says. It's a living sacrifice, holy. I don't believe the word holy has the idea of making myself holy to present myself to God. I don't believe that. I believe that presenting myself to God is holy. Do you understand what I mean by that? I don't mean, and some people believe, I got to clean myself up, I got to do some things, and I got to make myself whole, and once I'm far enough in my Christian life, now I can present myself to God, and I'm holy, presenting a holy sacrifice to God. I believe what this is saying is the act of presenting myself to God is holy in His sight. It is saying, God, I give myself over to holiness. I give myself over to the Holy One. I yield myself to You, God. I'm giving myself over, and that act is holy in Your sight. Notice what else He says. It is holy and it is acceptable unto God. This word acceptable, I don't know about you, but this word acceptable makes my heart leap. And I want to encourage your heart with something tonight. Listen very carefully. I remember growing up in school, I went to an ACE school. Don't judge ACE by me. I went to an ACE school, and on the back of my report cards, is this still true, Pastor? You would have the area of behavior. I hated that category. I do good in math, I do good in science, or whatever it may be, but on the back we would have behavior. And it would be excellent, good, satisfactory, or needs improvement. Do you have that on the back of your report cards? Oh, Lori, where are you? Do we? Yes, where is she? Yes, you know you don't? You lucky kids. Unbelievable. We had this thing where he came home and the teacher would say excellent behavior, excellent in his attitude or whatever, and satisfactory would be like the idea of acceptable and good and needs improvement. Needs improvement meant he was a brat. He was a terror. But we're not going to say it publicly. That's bad. That's bad. That's not politically correct to say that. But the word acceptable in our minds, isn't it true? We kind of view the word acceptable as, you know what, if this is the standard, I mean, they barely met the standard. They were so close, they barely met the standard. But if they did good, that's above the standard. And if they did excellent, that means they superseded the standard. That's how we view acceptable. And oftentimes we think, it's acceptable to give your life to God. It's acceptable. No. The idea, listen behind it, God is the one that is setting the standard. A holy, perfect, righteous, all-powerful God is saying to you and to me that for you to yield your life to me is accepted. It meets the standard. In other words, there's nothing higher than accepted in God's sight. There's no standard above His. What a thrill it is to know that I don't have every talent in the world. I don't have every ability in the world. I'm not as perfect as I ought to be. I stumble and fall, and times I wish I didn't. But to know that when I yield my life to God, God says, I accept that. God is not looking tonight for a church that has all of its ducks in the rows. God is looking for a church that is yielded to what God can do in their life. God is looking for a church that says, I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to God. I yield myself to His grace. And I want to see what God can do with this old wretched bag of dirt. I want to see what God can do. That's what God's looking for. And that's what pleases God. Listen to me, teenager. What pleases God is not for you to be a perfect person. Not to have every talent in the world. Not to have the ability to speak or the ability to sing or the ability to stand up in front of somebody or the ability to be funny or have all these talents and these interpersonal relationships. What pleases God is a life of faith and a life of yieldedness to Him. He says, when I yield my life, church, when I yield my life, He says, it is acceptable to God. Here's my question to you tonight. Is your life acceptable to Him? When God looks down, does He say, I accept the way you talk. I accept the way you think. I accept the way you serve. I accept that. Or does God say, you know what, I can't accept that service. It's not yielded to me. I can't accept those actions. They're not yielded to me. God's command for you is to yield yourself to God. Romans 12 and verse number 1, which is your reasonable service. You see, service has to do as the idea of not what I do, but who I'm yielding to. That's what service is. It's not like, okay, service is, okay, I will pick the bus route. Boom, I pick the bus route, so automatically I'm involved in service. You can be doing the bus route and not be involved in service at all in God's mind. But you also could be involved in the bus route with a heart of yieldedness, saying, God, I give my life over to this. I want to see those kids saved. And I yield to You to help me to go out and tell those people about Christ and to invite them. I yield to Your grace. I yield it over to You. And God said, that is acceptable service to Him. You don't have to go home and pray, should I give my life? You don't have to go and say, should I yield my mind to Him? Should I yield my heart to Him? Should I yield my attitude to Him? You don't have to go home and pray about this. If you're not doing it, may I tell you straightforward, you're outside of the will and the desires of God. God hates the fact that you would say, I want revival, but I'm going to live an unyielded life. God will not hear that. God wants you to be yielded. Number one, present your bodies. Number two, perfect yourselves. Look at verse number two. And the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's two amazing words. Those are the words conformity and transformation. These two words I want to point out some things about. The word conform, and obviously we're talking about worldliness here. Do not be conformed to the world. The word conform has the idea of dressing, what I put on. The other place it's translated is it talks about not being fashioned according to this world. Now, are we talking about, and you often hear from this passage, in other words, this verse means don't dress like the world and don't listen to the world's music. Yes, that would be the end result of this verse, but it's not talking about literally putting on clothes that are worldly clothes. It's talking about putting on, listen very careful, the world's thinking. That's what worldliness is. Being worldly has to do with having the mind of the world rather than having the mind of Christ. You see what the Bible says in verse number 2, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I mentioned this before. When I get saved, I am a new creature positionally. But has my brain and my mind changed? No, it has only changed in one area. It has changed in the area that I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and rose again, and by trusting in Him, I can be saved. That's all it's changed in. That's the only place it's been transformed. I have to give myself over to be changed. My mind, the idea of renew means to restore. It's the idea of revival. That's the same idea. It means what is broken needs to be fixed. So the idea of worldliness has to do with my mindset. What do you mean, Brother Chris? I mean this. For example, the world's philosophy is this. I have to be concerned with myself. That is worldly thinking. God's philosophy is the opposite. I don't worry about myself. I think of others and I think of the Lord. The world's philosophy is this. You want money? You work hard. You hoard it all, you steal it all, you invest it all. If you want money, you are a good and a shrewd businessman. That's the way to money. You know what God's plan is? It's the exact opposite of thinking. You want money, give it away. God says give, and then it will be given unto you. The world's philosophy, if you want to be on top, the world's philosophy is you climb and you step over and you stomp over everybody else and you work your way to top and you pull yourself up and you do it. God's philosophy is you want to go up, you go down. You see, it has to do with changing my thinking. I want you to notice an amazing word here, though, amazing concept. I'm going to get into English grammar here. So I'm excited because you're going to all be able to go home and tell your friends, man, he got into English grammar tonight. Isn't that exciting? Verse number 2, and be not conformed. The word be with the word conformed, conform is past tense. Notice be and then notice the past tense conformed. Also notice, but be ye transformed, be with the past tense of conformed. These are called passive imperatives. Am I right? Oh, ask Glory. All right. These are called passive imperatives. They are passive action verbs. What I mean by passive is this. An active verb means I do the action. I throw the ball to pastor. That was a flimsy looking throw. Don't judge me on my baseball skills here. So I throw the ball to pastor and he catches it. Now, if I were to say the sentence from pastor's point of view, I was thrown the ball. Pastor says, I was thrown the ball. That means he received the action. You see that? I threw it. He received the action. A passive imperative means I received the action. The idea is if I'm going to throw the ball, I say, pastor, I'm going to throw the ball. He puts himself in the place to receive the action. That's what the idea of these verbs are. Well, the point is, you can't stop yourself from being conformed. We talked about that last night. You know why? Your flesh. The best you have is adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness, and all the list goes on and on and on. I can't stop myself from being conformed. I, in my saved state, my flesh will continue to go that way if it's not curbed, quote unquote, somehow. And I also, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I can't transform myself. And you find people over and over and over saying, I am going to do the transformation. I will change myself. I will stop thinking this way. I will stop fearing this. I will do it. I will do it. And they don't understand it's an action that I do, but that is done to me. You see, this has to do with the idea of walking in the Spirit again. The word being transformed and being conformed has the root of it as who you yield to. In this world, you are competed over after you're saved. You are competed over by the Spirit of God who indwells you, and you are competed over by your flesh and everything around you, every type of thinking on TV and Hollywood and the way people think around you or people at workplace. You are being competed for, and you have a choice to either yield to the ways of the world and the thinking of the world or to yield to the Spirit of God. And as I yield to the Spirit of God, guess what? I am transformed. I am really changed. Not something fake. Not something that's put on as a show. There is a real change in my heart. I mentioned this last night. God is not interested in you going to tell someone about Christ and just doing it because I have to do it, but there's no desire in your heart. God wants a real transformation in your heart where you say, I want to tell that person about Christ, and it only comes as I yield to the Holy Spirit in my life. The only way our minds are renewed, the Bible indicates, is by the washing of the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit always uses His Word to transform you. That's why it's so important that you believers are saturated with the Word of God. That you don't just spend time in God's Word on Sunday morning and Sunday night. That you are in God's Word saying, God, I want to be changed thereby. I want to yield to it. I want to place myself underneath its authority. I want to see the transformation that God can do in my life. How am I perfected? How is my life completed? How am I made whole? It comes again through the step number one that I gave, having the idea of presenting yourself. As I present myself to God in an act of declaration, God, I give my life to you. God begins to look, okay, you're giving yourself to me, but you are a very wretched looking sight, and I'm going to begin to work and transform you and change you so you don't look like yourself anymore. You look like Jesus Christ who lives inside of you. I am going to change you as you yield to me. You see, it's a step by step. I yield to what God is doing right now. Let me give you an example. If one of the messages between Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, all those messages right there, you said, I do not yield, guess what? You have left, you've been stuck in an untransformed state. You have not grown. You have not changed. You have not become more like Christ, and you have been outside of the will of God. It ought to be that every message you're saying, God, change me. Every message, God, transform me. Every God message, I want your grace to do something in my life. I want to be transformed. I don't want to dress like the world in my thoughts. I don't want to dress like the world in my actions. I want to be changed inside out. The Bible says to present yourself. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to go home and pray about presenting yourself. You don't have to go home and pray about perfecting yourself. It is the desire of God for you. Let me ask you something. Have you been transformed? Maybe I should put it this way. Are you being transformed? When was the last time there was change in your heart? When was the last time there was what we would call growth or sanctification or the grace of God was applied in an area of sin? When was the last time? You know, it's a very bad thing if you say, well, yep, I've been to a lot of church service, but God hasn't spoke to me. It's not a God's fault here. It's a matter of our yielding to His influence in our life. But notice, if you would, I am transformed so that I can perform. Point number three, to perform my gifts. Notice verse number three, for I say. This is so important. We're going to go into specific service to the Lord, but it's so important that we understand in verse number three, He says, for I say. Because I mentioned this, that you find in Christianity, I feel like I'm seeing two different extremes. One coming from one crowd that I wouldn't necessarily always associate with Baptist denomination, but another one coming from a more stronger fundamental position. And one is a heavy, heavy work, service, service, service. The other one is just that, you know, the relationship and just grow. And as long as my heart is feeling better and as long as I'm encouraged in the Lord, then it's all good, but nothing's being done. Over on this side, you don't have any relationship, and over this side, you don't have any service. That is not God's intention. God's intention is for us to be transformed for a purpose. Notice what it says in verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Under performing your part, I want you to realize this. First, I want to give you this. Every person is a part of the same body. He says in verse number 5, so we being many are one body in Christ. Every person here tonight in this room that says, I am saved and I am part of this church right here, you are part of a body that is meant to do something. The Bible says you are part of the same body. The Great Commission was given to the church. The church was supposed to go out and evangelize, see people saved, see those people discipled and grow, and then those people could evangelize and see more people saved. That was God's plan. That is God's purpose for this church. God's purpose for this body right here is to see people saved. That's His purpose. To see people discipled, to see people grow, to see people transformed. That is God's purpose. And let me tell you tonight, you are a part of that purpose. You see, when He says you are one body in Christ, we believe, at least I believe, Pastor, don't crucify me for this, I believe that there is a universal church, but you cannot see it, and we will not know it in rapture. So the only thing I have to look at, what the Bible indicates, is a local church by which we show and show a picture of the body of Christ. God puts you in this body right here, and this body has a purpose. And it has someone that's in charge of it. And did you know it's not the pastor? The Bible says the head of the church is Christ. Christ is the head of the church, but in a physical way, God has placed Him in a strong role, in a strong part of this body. But I want you to know tonight that every person is a part, and you don't have a choice in that. If you're saved tonight, and you baptized, and you joined this church, you are a part of this body, practically speaking. Every person here. The youngest person, you're a part of this purpose. The oldest person here, you are a part of this purpose. This body should be functioning, and you're a part of it. But notice number 2, every person is a part of the same body. But number 2, every part has a responsibility. Look at verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. The word office, listen very carefully, has the idea of the area of responsibility. Where I'm going into my office today, I'm going to where I've been given certain things to accomplish. This is my little cubicle of responsibility. Boring as it may be, this is my cubicle of responsibility. God says every person in this room right now, God's will is for you to understand that you are a part. And every part has a responsibility. You see, God is drawing a picture just like a human body. The whole human body works as several parts working as one. The head directs every part to accomplish the will of the mind. What I choose to do, I choose to grab this water bottle. So my mind directs my hand to do it. My mind doesn't direct my foot to do it because my hand's responsibility is to grab. When I'm directed, my mind wants to see something, to look back at all these missionaries back there. My mind tells my eyes where to go. That is how the body works. And I understand that every part has a different responsibility. And did you know tonight that you have a responsibility in this church? But I haven't grown very much. But I'm not where I should be. It doesn't matter. You have a responsibility in this church. You have been given by the Holy Spirit a part in the service of this church. But you know what often happens in a church and in most churches I'm in? It's the same thing that we see today when a person has a part of them that becomes hurt or wounded or unfunctioning, we would call that person handicapped. You see, just recently I cut my finger working on my trailer. working. That's the important part. He didn't realize that evangelists work. I was working on my trailer and I cut my finger. So when I went to play the piano, it actually right there, I couldn't hardly play with this finger right here. I had to put a thick band-aid on it because of her. So other fingers, in a sense, had to take up the load. You see, when a person is blind, the primary purpose of the eyes is to see. The hands are not meant to see, but when a person is blind, they have to use their hands to try to make up for what the eyes aren't doing. But it's not going to do as good of a job. It will try its best, so to speak, but it will not do as good of a job as the eyes will. You know what happens in bodies of Christ like this one here? The body of Christ becomes handicapped. You mean when I don't serve, this body is limited? Yes. When I don't yield, that's the point. This body is limited. If I could tonight drop down a projection screen right now, and by the Holy Spirit's guidance, I could draw what this body looked like. If I could draw and say, all right, here's the body, here's the arms, the legs, the hands, here's everything, every part of the body. And I said, did you know, brother so-and-so, you're this part. Did you know, sister so-and-so, you're this part. Did you know, you're this part in the body. And we all show every part in the body. I wonder tonight how handicapped this body would be. In fact, I can probably tell you, and you know I love you. You've seen that, I hope. You know I love you. If not, I do. But I want you to know something. The purpose of the body is not being fulfilled here. People are not being saved like they ought to be. People are not being discipled like they ought to be. This body is handicapped. Why? Because there's parts that are unyielded. We often think it's the pastor's job. We often think it's people that are called to the ministry. It's the leaders of this church. It is not. I am a part of the responsibility of this church. If I say I identify with this church, this is where I worship, this is where I come, this is where I fellowship, understand every part, every person is a part of the body of Christ. Teenagers, you are a part of this body. This body will be restricted if you are not yielded to Him. The Bible says that every person is a part and every person has a responsibility. Now, I don't know what that is here. I know basically one person's responsibility. His responsibility is to give forth the Word of God and to pray. That's what the Bible tells the pastor's responsibility is to do, is to lead you in many ways spiritually. But I can't tell you what your responsibility is. And by the way, you don't have a specific choice in that responsibility. God gives you that responsibility. God gives you areas of service and ways in which you can serve. Well, how am I supposed to know it? I want you to notice this. Every person has a part of the same body. Every part has a responsibility. But every responsibility comes with power. It comes with a gift. Notice what the Bible says here in chapter number 12. It says, verse number 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Do you understand that the hand, when it is born, it has the ability to move? It's been given it naturally. The eyes, for people that are not born with defects, have the ability to see. And did you understand that when you got saved, God gave you a gift. And the gift is grace. God gave you, sir. God gave you, man. God gave you, children, a grace by which to serve Him. So oftentimes, what do I have? Don't look at your talents. Don't look at your personality. Look at the grace of God that God is burning in your heart and that area of service. You see, God has granted to you of His grace a gift by which to serve. If you were to look at verses number 7 and 8, you're going to find 7 gifts. Now, many people disagree with me on what these gifts mean. I would encourage you to go to your pastor, ask him what they mean, because I don't want to split the church. But the main one that people disagree with is the one of prophecy. The one of prophecy. Some people believe that's the preacher. Some people believe it's the person that has the ability to distinguish truth and error very fast. I won't get into what it is, but I will give you the other ones. There's the gift of ministry. The gift of being able to hands-on help in the church. Very practically speaking, you are a server by nature. You naturally want to help and assist other people. That is God's spiritual gift for you. There's other people here that you have a spiritual gift of teaching. You have the ability that when you read God's Word, automatically it comes in your mind in a way to be able to tell someone else about it. And some of you people have that ability here tonight from the Holy Spirit. Others here have the ability of exhortation. That's the ability to lift people up from where they're at, to take off the load. By the way, my spiritual gift is encouragement. You're going to find all of my messages have to be with something is hindering you from what you could be. and I want to get rid of those things. And here's one of those things. I believe a lot of people don't understand that they have been given the gifts by which to serve God. You have it already. Exhortation, another one is giving. God equips some of you here in this room with the ability of giving, whether it be through food or money or some type of time. There's all different ways in which to give. Some here have the ability to rule. Some like that ability to rule. But the ability to rule doesn't mean to be king. It means you have the ability to administrate. You can see things systematically. You can see, man, we are blowing our time here. We are wasting our resources here. You have that ability. Other people have the gift of mercy. The ability to come alongside and feel what someone else is feeling and bearing one another's burdens so easily. Do you understand tonight that you should be using your gift? Teenager, you have a gift. It's not a talent. It's not an ability. It's not something that you can create or muster up. It is the grace of God that has been given to you by which you can serve. This is how you can know your area of responsibility. Well, I don't know where I'm supposed to serve. What am I supposed to do? You can know it two ways. One, by prayer, asking God for discernment on what my gift is. Number two, how about the pastor? Huh, what a novel idea. Going to my spiritual authority to find out where I can serve. Do you think he might have an idea of where you could serve? Do you think you might walk up to the pastor and say, Pastor, I really want to serve somehow in this body of Christ. I want to see evangelism. I want to see discipleship accomplished. I want to see God's purposes done. Do you have anywhere you can plug me in? Do you think pastor's going to say, nope, everything's full. Nope, you have to take a number because I got people beating down the door to serve. No. That's because we here at this church, and we know it, we're not accomplishing like we should because we individually are not yielded like we should be. I want you to notice that every person is a part of the same body. Every part has a responsibility. Every responsibility comes with a gift. But every gift, listen very carefully, is tapped into by faith. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3 at the very end. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Listen very carefully. The message last night is not a contradiction to this message tonight. The message last night helps us to understand that every action I do spiritually and in righteousness is done by the Holy Spirit for me. And understanding that service for God is not me just getting out there and getting it done. Service for God is me yielding to the Holy Spirit, me yielding to His influence in my life, me yielding to His transformation, and me yielding to what He wants me to do in serving others and in serving in this local church. Let me ask you today, are you serving? If you're not serving, listen, it's because you're not yielded. Because God has already given you the grace. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He set forth His will. It all funnels back to being yielded. I yield God. I don't have all the talents. I don't have all the abilities. And a lot of times you know what people say? I have failed too much. I have lived failure. I've tried to do it before and I can't. I've tried to tell people and I get fearful. And they live in failure. That is walking in the flesh. You need to confess, God, I am a failure. And the only thing I can do is trust in the Holy Spirit and yield myself to Him and watch what He can do. My question for you tonight is, are you performing your part? People that are older, you have a part to do still here. Your service is not done. This body is still here. And did you know this body is going to reach Council Bluffs and no other body is going to? It is your responsibility here. If Council Bluff dies and goes to hell, guess who the light is? It's us. You have a part. Teenager, you have a part. Young person, you have a part. But I work a full-time job, a man might say. But I'm a stay-at-home mom and I'm so busy with the kids, a lady might say. You have a responsibility in this church given by God. And it's a matter of yielding to God. Perfect yourself. Present yourself. And perform your gifts. How about it, church? It comes back to yielding to the Holy Spirit. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Let's stand to our feet tonight. My wife's going to play a song.